Thank you, Gloria.
Good morning, all. Good morning. Let me start my timer. I'm the dual person of timer and speaker. So good morning to all my family. And I say this because, I have family. I love my family. My family of origin is who led me to this place of Overeaters Anonymous and recovery. But I love all you guys, and I love this room. One of the few benefits, if the only benefit, is that the pandemic led me to this room, and I'm so grateful to be here because this way I have a daily meeting, to come to a daily meeting of recovery, rather than having to go a whole week between meetings. For the newcomer, my name is Gloria. I'm a compulsive overeater. Just to give you the stats, pictures show that I started eating compulsively at around 5 years old, because that's when my weight started going up. I am one of six children, originally from Long Island. Because it's part of my story, my father was an alcoholic. As it turns out, I'm doing a lot of family research, and I'm finding a lot of death certificates by way of New York City Municipal Archives, and a lot of my family were alcoholics. A long line from generations back, but that's a whole other thing. I was. My parents tried everything. They brought me to diet doctor, to this place, diet pills, Weight Watcher, to paid away, and things would work for a while. I would sometimes lose weight and sometimes not. And with the diet pills, I was actually quite cranky while on them. And nothing, they never really worked because I didn't see my weight as a problem. I didn't see that I had a problem with my weight. Everybody else did. I have a sister who does not remember this, but at one point she called me Big Bertha. And it hurt because I didn't understand why she had the need to do that. I have had this aunt who she would let one of us every year come down back down to the island once we moved up here and spend a couple of weeks with her, my uncle, and my cousin. And she also had the weight problem thing, and she tried all that stuff. And at that moment in time, that when I was coming down to the island, she was going to Weight Watchers. She was going to Overeaters Anonymous. So she said, "Come on along." And she doesn't remember. Years later, she doesn't even remember going to it. But I walked into that room at, I think I was 18, walked into the room, and this is after the whole Weight Watchers, the diet pills, this diet doctor, that, tell me, me, what they, and everybody, my skinny, as it turns out, my older sister was and is anorexic, and, just put down the food, and it's like, so I walked into that room with my aunt. And I heard what was said, what was shared, and my thought, first thought was, oh, okay, this is where I belong. This is the solution. Problem was, I lived 150 miles north, in the capital district, New York State's capital district. And God, it's things like that, and the next thing that happened that have me convinced that it was my higher power that kept directing this. About 6 months later, my father loved to read the local page paper from front to back, including the public service announcements. He saw a little PSA that, with the famous, now famous OA thing, "Is food a problem for you?" Oh, it talks about Overeaters Anonymous. And to back up a little bit, as I said, my father was an alcoholic who got in, who He was driving drunk and he hurt a child. And that sent him right into AA. Thank God. Thank God the child lived, and thank God he's like, oh, okay, I don't want to do that again. So he went right into AA. So when he said that there was a meeting, he saw that and said, there's a meeting, locally. You want to go to, I could bring it to you because I've got an AA meeting right down the street. And it's like, sure, because I remember that. And I think, I don't know for sure that my aunt told my father about her bringing me to a meeting. But what I do know is that that was higher power. Higher power led me to the first one, led my father to that little public service announcement. And it's always, whenever I've come back to OA, it's because of God. It's because of God. And it took me many years of sitting in these rooms when I came back. Because for all of you, I am that person who there's a moment, there has been in my life in OA moments in time where I've said, I just can't do this anymore. For whatever reason, the last time I left OA, I had just moved back from Western New York back to the Capital District. And there were different kinds of meetings. They were both OA meetings, but they were quite different. One tended to focus on what brought you to the rooms, and the other just focused on the food. I had decided that in the Albany area, and I know now that it was my disease saying, you know what? If this is why I'm always going to be here, I could do this better on my own. And I regret that now. In many aspects, I respect. I regret leaving rather than fighting to make it better, being part of making it better. On the other hand, I'm grateful that I left. Not that I left, but it having left brought me to a new depth of my disease that I never want to go back to. I never, ever, ever want to go back to that hell with food and my disease. My disease during that, I left OA in 1988 and came back in 1988 and came back in 1999. And I brought Gorilla Glue with me because I never want to go through that again. Because it was no, it stopped. Food stopped being a comfort. Food stopped being that escape. And suddenly I was raging. That's all I ever did was rage. And I was hurting myself. I was physically hurting myself. My top weight before I came back into the rooms was 337 pounds, and I'm only 4'11". My breathing was bad enough so that I was often on oxygen. I was every 2 weeks going to the emergency room because I couldn't breathe. A few years into recovery, and I had lost a lot of weight. I was bringing up the breathing, and the pulmonologist had said, your breathing isn't as bad as it is because of the smoking. It's because of your weight. My breathing was so bad that my lungs could not expand. I could not lay down at night. I could because of the weight. And I just didn't have the emotional, it wasn't bad enough yet to want to I want to submit, bad enough yet to surrender, say I need help. Until one day my mother was up, came back up to New York for a visit, and all I did was yell and scream at her, and she said, you know what, I'm not going to take this. She walked out, and in that moment that she walked out, I knew it wasn't me. I heard, I think you need to get back into OA. And I knew it wasn't me because I kept fighting it. Up until that moment in time, I kept fighting going back into OA, in part because I did not want to have to admit defeat. I did not want to have to admit I was wrong and that I actually needed help. So I went out, told my mother I need to get to an OA meeting, and her response lovingly was, "Thank God. Okay, where is it? We'll go now." Because I had told her, and it was the funny thing is, I always knew exactly where all the meetings were. I had a meeting list. So I came back into the rooms that day, went down the stairs that I wasn't sure how I was going to get up, wasn't sure how I was going to get to the meeting, did not care. I've often, and I believe this phrase, God does for me what I can't do for myself. I got to that first meeting, did not know how I was going to get to the second meeting. A lovely lady at the meeting, I had put my name on the We Care list, and someone called me saying, "Would you like a ride to the meeting until you can get to one?" And I said, "Yes, thank you." So that solved that problem. And I've often said that I brought my gorilla glue because when I've whenever I've left, I've ended up leaving and ending up in worse condition than I was before. And at 337 pounds and unable to breathe, I'm not sure if I would survive the next one. So that's all that stuff. When I came back in, part of it was about the weight. Part of it was about the weight, because I didn't need to lose weight and I followed orders. I was given by a nutritionist. I was given a food plan by a nutritionist. And it I think I lost, we realized that I had to lose 200 pounds and I've lost 150 of it fairly easy. And I have, yeah, okay, so I've got 7 minutes and some change left. So, excuse me. So about a year in, I ended up on that plateau. And up until that point, I've been doing conquering, not conquering, doing one thing at a time that I had thought that I would not be able to do. And I did it and I made it happen. And then I did the next thing and then the next thing. And, I was growing emotionally as well as shrinking physically and cool, and all that nice stuff. Then I hit the plateau. And there's that phrase that some of you may have heard. If you focus on the recovery, you'll lose the weight. If you focus on the weight, you'll lose your recovery, which is what happened. I ended up in a relapse that I had not realized I was in until I had gotten on the doctor scale. And there was that 25 pounds of the 150 that I thought I'd lost. And it was that moment, it was in that moment that I realized I had nothing to lose by relying on a higher power, by actually asking for help. I had that belief. I could do this. I could do this on my own. Well, I couldn't. I could not. I was starting to lose my recovery because I was starting to focus on the wrong part of my recovery. So I asked for help. I got it within the rooms. I got directed, and it was my higher power that directed me to the next step to take. And it was. And I'm grateful for that time because up until this point, I had always believed that my higher power just ignored me. At one point, I actually thought that my higher power had abandoned me. And it was my higher power that kept bringing me to OA. It was my higher power who kept bringing me back to OA. It was my higher power who kept helping me get to the next meeting when I could not get to the next meeting. So it was during that point in relapse, And during that point in relapse, I never left. I never, ever left. My father, who was in the other rooms, was in the other rooms while he was alive, had always said, when I'm in relapse, I need to be in the room so I could get out of the relapse. So I always remembered that. One of the things I also always knew is alcohol started becoming a problem, but I realized that a large part of the, for me, and I can only speak for myself when I say, the only reason why alcohol is starting to become a problem is the only difference between me, the alcoholic, and me, the compulsive eater, is the way I get my sugar. For me, it was always about the sugar and the alcohol. So putting down the bottle became part of my abstinence in a way. And on that, being that I only have 4 minutes left, I'm going to give the 4 minutes as a gift to the rooms because I think I'm done now. And on that, I'm going to pass it on to the rooms. Thank you for listening.